Welcome to the Elite Life Church podcast. We pray this message strengthens your faith and helps equip you for living the life God created you to live. Connect with us online at elitelife.church. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word and that your word is truth. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. I ask that our love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that we may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the praise and glory of God. Amen. Today is part 5, Hearing the Voice of God. Our key scripture is John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. We've been talking about hearing the voice of God. We started out this series talking about obedience and how important it is to walk in obedience and the fact that obedience is the master key to unlock the kingdom of God to us, to unlock the benefits available to us in the kingdom of God. We read in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. That abundant life does not come automatically. It requires us to walk in obedience to the King. It requires us to line our lives up with the truth of the Word of God. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. In order to walk in obedience, we first of all have to know what we need to walk in obedience to. We have to know the will of God. We have to know what God wants for our lives. And we know that when we hear the voice of God. Today, I want to focus in on one of the ways that all of us can hear the voice of God in our lives. And that is through the Word of God. Any revelation or understanding of truth that we receive while reading, listening to, or meditating on the Word of God is a form of hearing the voice of God. So any revelation or understanding of truth that I receive while I'm reading the Word, listening to the Word, or meditating on the Word is a form of hearing the voice of God. In Luke 24:13-32, we see the resurrected Jesus opening the scriptures and revealing himself in the Word of God to a couple of his disciples. Verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, what is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucify him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning. And when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him we did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" I want to go back to verses 15 and 16. Here we see that Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Why do you think it is that their eyes were kept from recognizing Jesus? I don't know the answer for sure, but I think that it might have been that Jesus knew the importance of training his disciples not to rely on their natural senses to receive spiritual truths. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." 1 Corinthians 2:10-16, "These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." I believe Jesus knew the importance of training his disciples to not rely on their natural senses to receive spiritual truths. Even though they hadn't yet received the Spirit, I believe Jesus wanted to begin training them in that direction. Going back to verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God." Any spiritual truths that we receive come from God. Going back to Luke 24, verse 32, "They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?'" There was something that was coming alive on the inside of them. They sensed it on the inside. Whenever we get into the Word of God and we're reading it and we're meditating on it, when something comes to life for us, when we see something and we get an aha moment, we're like, "Oh Lord, that's what that means. Oh, this is how this works." That is receiving from God. That is one way that we hear the voice of God in our life, is by having the truth come to life on the inside of us. John chapter 20, verses 24 to 29. This is shortly after that incident where Jesus was on the road to Emmaus, opening the scriptures. He ate with them, broke bread, and then he disappeared. We see here in verse 24, "Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the marks of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe.'" 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Verse 29, Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." We get to choose whether or not we're going to believe or not believe. We cannot rely on our natural senses to receive things from the Spirit of God. Thomas wanted to rely on his natural senses. He said, unless I see with his eyes, in his hands, the mark of the nails, and place my finger feeling the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. He's saying, unless I see with my natural eyes and feel with my natural senses, I will never believe. That is a very dangerous statement to make. We get to choose whether or not we're going to believe or not believe the truths of the word, but it is dangerous when we choose to rely on our natural senses in order to receive spiritual truths. Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Praise God, we get to walk in the blessings of God. None of us have seen with our eyes Jesus walking on this earth. But we get to choose to believe based on the truth in the Word of God that the Holy Spirit reveals to us, the gift from heaven from the Father, that we get to receive the truth and believe. I encourage you today, choose to believe what God says about you. Choose to believe what the Word says. Luke 24:27. Going back to the story of Emmaus. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus knew who he was in the Word of God. He knew the truth about himself and his identity revealed in the scriptures. We see this in Luke 2, verses 41 to 52. Now his parents went to Jerusalem. This is while Jesus was a child. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus knew the scriptures from a young age. He knew the word of God. He knew who he was in the scriptures. When I spend time in the Word of God, my primary purpose is relationship with God, thereby learning my true identity as a new creation in Christ and my purpose in life. Jesus knew who he was in the Word of God. As a believer, I have to know who I am in the Word. When I go to the Word, I go to the Word for a relationship with God, thereby learning my true identity as a new creation in Christ and my purpose in life. Now, when I say it's relationship with God, it is relationship with the Heavenly Father, with my Heavenly Father, through Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. We see the whole Trinity at play there. When I come to the Father, I come to the Father through Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. John 5, verse 39 to 40, Jesus said, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." He was speaking that to the religious leaders of the day. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. The scriptures are designed to bring us into relationship with God. John 17:3, Jesus praying says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Eternal life is knowing God. It's about relationship first and foremost. Everything flows out of our relationship with God. Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. I am predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus. When I go to the Word and I understand my relationship with God, it also helps me understand my true identity. We see this in 2 Corinthians 5:16 to 21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. No one includes me. It includes you. We can't see ourselves in line with our flesh. We are the most familiar with ourselves in the flesh because we spend our entire life knowing all of our thoughts, being inside of us, knowing us in the flesh. When we're born again, our job is to begin knowing who we are in the Spirit. Watch this. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. When I spend time in the Word of God, my primary purpose is relationship with God, thereby learning my true identity as a new creation in Christ and my purpose in life. I am the righteousness of God. That's what the Word says. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Thank you, Jesus. I no longer go about looking at my old self, looking at who I once was. I look at who I am in Christ, and I choose to make my decisions and to live my life based on what I find in the Word of God, based on my true identity that is revealed to me through the Scriptures. Jesus was able to take the disciples through the Scriptures and show them who he was in the Scriptures. Each of us should be able to go to the Word of God to know who we are based on the truth of the Word of God. John 5:19. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing, for whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. Jesus speaking in John 5:30 from the New King James Version, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. When we approach the Word of God with an expectancy to hear God and a submitted heart choosing to obey what God speaks to us through his Word, we've got to be approaching the Word to find out our identity, find out who we are, but then we do that so that we can follow the will of the Father, so we can follow in Jesus' footsteps. Jesus came to be the perfect representation of God to the world, and we are called to be the representation of Jesus to the world. Just as Jesus came to represent God to the world, our job as Christians is to represent Jesus to the world. That means we have to submit our will to the will of the Father. We have to submit our lives to the truth of the Word. We have to choose to be conformed to the image of Jesus. I approach the Word of God with an expectancy to hear God and a submitted heart choosing to obey what God speaks to me through the Word. With that in mind, I want to read a couple of Paul's prayers to believers. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 14. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption for the forgiveness of sins. Going back to verse 10, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We increase in the knowledge of God when we spend time in the Word of God, reading the Word of God, listening to the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God. Why do we do that? We go to the Word to transform our lives so that we can walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. We allow the Word to come into our life and change us as we're hearing the voice of God through the Word of God. I want to look now in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 to 21. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, far above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Going back up to verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you. It comes from God. When we have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the truth of the word, that is coming from God. Thank you, Jesus. Getting revelation from the word of God is a form of hearing the voice of God. It's a form of receiving communication from God. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So right after that prayer, just a few verses later, that was Ephesians 1:16 to 21, dropping down a couple of paragraphs, we get to 2:10, Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Why do we need to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him? We go to the word for relationship with him, but in that we find out who we are. And when we find out who we are, we find out our purpose. When we find out our purpose, then we can walk according to that purpose that God has for us and walk in the will of God to do the things that he prepared for us beforehand. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. When we go to the word of God, we go to the word of God so we can receive from God, so we can then obey what we receive from God and walk in the good things that he has prepared for us. John 14, 26 and 27. Jesus said, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. We've talked about this in previous weeks, that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things and bring to our remembrance all that Jesus said, which means when we get in the Word, we read the Word, we know the Word of God, it's the Holy Spirit that brings the truth of the Word back up to us to reveal truth to us from the Word. Now we see over in John 16, 12 to 15, we see something else that the Holy Spirit does. Verse 12, this is Jesus speaking again. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that I will take what is mine and declare it to you. We see here that he's leading us into truth that we don't yet know. There is new revelation that can come into our life. It will line up with the truth of the Word, but it may not be explicitly stated in the Word, but it will bear witness with the Word and it will line up with the truth of the Word. It is fresh revelation that the Lord can bring to us as well. This is where the Holy Spirit can lead us into the truth that may not be explicitly written in the Word of God. As we spend time developing relationship with God, learning to hear His voice, it positions us to be in a place, be guided by the Holy Spirit in other decisions that we have to make in our life. Things like where we're going to move, what we're going to do with maybe our life or our calling or different things. When there's big decisions that we have to make, we put that before the Lord in prayer. We seek the Lord on it and we wait on the Lord so we hear direction from God on it. And if we don't hear specific direction, that means that we get to make the decision that we believe with the wisdom of God on the inside of us, God would have us to make. And then we trust the Holy Spirit will stop us if it's the wrong decision, or he'll give us a pause or a cause to hold up, wait a second, let's look at this a different way. So we move forward. It doesn't mean that we wait on every decision because we have to hear explicitly from God on everything. But it does mean that as we're moving forward in the direction that God's called us to go, remember the word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We see the direction we're heading in, and that we're moving in that direction. We trust that the Word of God and the Holy Spirit will keep us on track as we move in the direction that God's told us to go. When it comes to the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us into all truth, I want to turn over to 2 Peter 3, 14 to 18. 2 Peter 3, 14 to 18. This is Peter writing. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. Yet therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. He's saying that Paul has written some things in the letters that Paul wrote that are difficult to understand, but it was from wisdom that was given to Paul. So if God gave Paul wisdom on something and he wrote it, it can be a difficult truth to understand. It can be a truth that's easy to twist, but it's truth from the Lord. When we seek the Lord to help us understand the truth of the Word, says there are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction as they do the other scriptures. There's plenty in the Word of God that can be twisted, pulled out of context, and used for someone's own gain. But there is wisdom and revelation that comes from God, where God reveals truths to us that help us understand who God is and who we are in the in the scriptures, in the word. Going back to Jesus being able to point to the word, to go through the scriptures, to show the disciples who he was in the word. Each one of us should go to the word and know who we are in our new creation in Christ based on the truth of the word. John 3:27. John answered, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. God is the one that gives to each of us. When we receive truth from the word, when we receive revelation, it comes from God. Matthew 16:13-19. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they say, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Jesus told Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. He did not receive it with natural understanding. Just because he was with Jesus, he didn't know from being with Jesus that he was the Son of God. He knew it from revelation from our Heavenly Father. Every truth that we receive comes from heaven. James 1:16-25. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. A couple things there. Number one, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father, from our Heavenly Father, the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. When we receive truth, it comes from our Heavenly Father. Next, we have to be doers of the word. When we're reading the word and we're receiving truth from the word, we're receiving that truth so we can act upon it, so it can transform our lives, so it can show us who we are in Christ and show us what our purpose is in the kingdom of God, so we can be about our Father's business. If we look at the word and God's revealing truth to us and we're not acting on that truth and we're not living in accordance with the truth, we are deceiving ourselves. When we look at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, we will be blessed in our doing. The word of God is our spiritual mirror to show us who we really are. We've got to stop knowing ourselves after our flesh. We have to stop looking in the natural mirror to see who we are. Looking at ourselves, looking at our flaws, looking at the things that, oh, I want to change this about me. I don't like this. I don't like that. No, go to the word of God. See what the truth of the word says about your life. When we know what the word says about us, when we know the truth of the word, it transforms the way that we act in our life. We become transformed by the renewing of our mind when we gaze steadily at the truth of the word, and we choose that what the word says about us is what we're going to believe about us, and then we're going to stand on the truth of the word. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." It's breathed out by God. When we receive truth from the word of God, it is a form of hearing the voice of God. Now, it's easy to have misconceptions when it comes to hearing the voice of God. Wrong expectations can cause us to miss what God is speaking to us when we're looking at his word. What does it mean to hear someone's voice? I find this really interesting. Look at Genesis 4, 8 to 10. Genesis chapter 4, 8 through 10. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground." The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. We see here that blood has a voice that God understands. What does it mean to hear someone's voice? Jesus says in John chapter 12, 27 to 30, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine." Those who said it thundered and those who said an angel spoke to him, both those groups of people heard the audible voice of God, but they didn't hear what God actually said. They heard the audible voice, but they didn't hear what God said. Hearing an audible voice with my natural ear is not nearly as important as knowing what is actually being spoken. When we hear the word of God come alive on the inside of us, that is hearing the voice of God. And it is more important to hear the inner voice of God and understand what God is communicating to us through his word and when he speaks to us versus looking to hear an audible voice with our natural ears. I live in an area where it's really common when I'm out and about to hear different natural languages being spoken. Now, here's the key. I can hear all those natural languages being spoken, but because I don't speak the language, I can't hear what's actually being said. I can hear the audible voice, but I don't know what's being said. It is more important to know what's actually being said and communicated to you by God than hearing a natural audible voice. When you go to the Word of God and you receive truth, you are hearing the voice of God. In Genesis chapter 11, we see God is the one who came up with different natural languages. God's the one that invented language. In 1 Corinthians 14, 13 to 19, we see that God understands spiritual languages as well. Verse 13, "Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. God understands every natural language and every spiritual tongue and every form of communication. God knows the depths of our heart. When we receive communication from God, when He's speaking on the inside of our spirit, when we're hearing Him, and it sounds a lot like our own thoughts, but we know it's a little different than our own thoughts, and it lines up with the truth of the Word of God. Many times I'll ask, Lord, is that you? And then I'll pray in the Spirit for a little bit. And I'll wait to feel the peace. Like, yeah, that's God. And I ask, does it line up with the Word? Yeah, it lines up with the Word. Yes, it lines up with truth. Well, praise God, I'm hearing from the Lord. I'm receiving something from my Heavenly Father as He's downloading it to me through the spiritual connection that we have. Acts chapter 15, 7 through 9. And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as He did to us. And He made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Verse 8 says, And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as He did to us. God knows our hearts. Communication is so much deeper than hearing an audible voice. God knows our hearts. He knows what's inside of us. And He's able to speak to us through our spirit man so that we can receive directly from Him as we learn to tune in and recognize the voice of God in our life. And as we're doing that, as we're spending time in the Word and God's revealing truths to us from His Word, when we read the Word of God and it makes sense to us, when we read the Word of God and it comes alive to us, that is something that we're receiving directly from our Heavenly Father. Psalm 139, verse 4. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. God knows the words that we're going to speak before we speak them. He knows our heart. Romans 8, 26 to 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him whom we must give an account. The Word of God is living and active. When you go into the Word of God, it is not a stale book when you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, leading you into all truth. My encouragement to you this week is go to the Word of God, read the Word of God, listen to the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. Let the Word of God be the meditation of your heart throughout your day. And as you let the Word of God meditate in your heart, it says it's sharper than a double-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, dividing what is part of your soul and what is part of your spirit, showing you who you really are in the spirit realm, teaching you spiritual truths through your spirit. It discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart. When we allow the Word of God to come into our life, we allow it to discern our thoughts. When we have certain thoughts, we have certain intentions, the Word of God coming into us can weigh those thoughts and intentions, not because God needs to know what our thoughts and intentions are, but because we need to understand what the depth of our heart is, what the true intention of our heart is, so that if it doesn't line up with the truth of who we are in Christ, we can make the changes that we need to make so we can walk in obedience to the truth of the Word, so we can walk in obedience to who we really are as a new creation in Christ. If you are born again and reading your Bible, you're already hearing the voice of God. As you're reading the Word of God, as you're studying it, as you let it come alive on the inside of you, begin to understand what that sounds like when the Holy Spirit brings truth to you. When you're meditating on the Word and you have a revelation that comes alive in you, recognize that as the voice of God and begin to understand that's what the voice of God sounds like in your life, so you can recognize it at different times throughout your day. So when you're standing in line and God tells you, hey, pay for that person's meal, or you're walking along and God says, hey, pray for that person, speak over this person, do this, go this way home, don't go that way home. When you learn to recognize the voice of God on the inside of you, you begin walking in line with His will so that you can do the good things that He prepared for you before the foundation of the world. I'm going to leave you with this. Any revelation or understanding of truth that we receive while reading, listening to, or meditating on the Word of God is a form of hearing the voice of God. My primary purpose in getting in the Word of God is relationship with God so that I can know my true identity and understand my calling and my purpose in life. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Lord, I thank You for each and every person that has heard this message. I thank You that it brings up a desire to spend more time in Your Word, listening to Your Word, meditating on Your Word, and hearing from You. God, I thank You that each of us, as we hear Your direction and Your plans for our life, Lord, that we would be willing to submit to those plans, submit to Your calling in our life, submit to the good things that You have in store for us, Father, so we can walk in this earth as You walk, so we can do the things that You called us to do, so we can walk in Your blessing, that we can be a blessing to those that come in contact with us, as we are bringing heaven to earth and touching the people around us with the good news of Your kingdom. I thank You, Lord, for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is Pastor Tim Howe. Thank you for listening. For additional resources to help you live an elite life, visit EliteLifeMinistries.com. Our mission is to know, show, and share the love of God, living an elite life. So what is an elite life? An elite life is a life being transformed by surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, rooted and grounded in love. As we know, believe, and obey God's Word, we experience the blessings and fruit of living as citizens of heaven and ambassadors for Christ. Living an elite life as believers is not about superiority. It's about embracing the life we were created to live, loving and obeying God, and loving and serving others. The word elite has multiple meanings, but one of those meanings is the best or most select. We believe living an elite life is the very best life anyone can live, because there is no true life apart from Christ. Jesus said in John 17:3, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent." So there is no true life apart from Christ. One of the other meanings of elite is of high birth. There is no higher birth than being born again or born from above as a child of the Most High God. John 3:5-8, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh is born of flesh, but spirit is born of spirit. Do not be amazed that I said you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." So let me ask you, are you living an elite life? Do you remember the time, the place, or the surrounding circumstances when you asked Jesus Christ to personally become your Lord and Savior? If you can't answer that with 100% certainty, I want to invite you to mark today as the day you know for sure that you've asked Jesus to become your personal Lord and Savior. John 14:6, Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." John 3:16-18, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." 1 Corinthians 15:3-6, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers at once, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep." Romans 10:9-13, "That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart you believe and are justified, and with your mouth you confess and are saved. It is just as the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and gives richly to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast." If you'd like to begin living an elite life today, I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer, but feel free to say it differently. The important thing is that it's got to come from your heart. Heavenly Father, I acknowledge that I have sinned against you and I'm in need of your grace. I ask for your forgiveness. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is now Lord of my life. I believe in my heart that he died for my sins and that you raised him from the dead. Thank you, Father, for saving me, for forgiving me, and for giving me eternal life. I receive your love and gift of salvation today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you made Jesus Christ your Lord today, welcome to the family of God. Welcome to your elite life. Mark today's date as a reminder of the day you made Jesus the Lord of your life. We would love to celebrate with you. Please reach out to us at EliteLifeMinistries.com and let us know that you gave your life to Jesus. We have free resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each and every person that has listened to this message. For those that just gave their life over to you, Father, I know the word tells us that the angels are rejoicing at this moment. Father, we thank you. We rejoice along with the angels and thank God for a new life being added to your family. Lord, I also pray for anyone that listened to this message but didn't make that decision today. Maybe they're still unsure. Father, I ask you to reveal yourself to them and draw them to you. Father, I ask you to give them another chance to receive your salvation. Father, I thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.